Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of this Wednesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are joined today and this hour by L.A. Marzulli, his website, lamarzulli.net, as well as
ppsreport.com. That's right.
ppsreport.com. He's working on his latest series, Watchers 10. He's the author of On the Trail of the Nephilim, which we have right here, as well as The Cosmic Chess Match, one of my favorite books. And we're talking about the rise of jihad, not only in the west of Europe and in Europe, but also here in the United States. And, you know, we have so much that we covered in the first hour. You know, the Syrian and Iraqi refugees that have been making their way over here. And Russ Dizdar made a great point in the conference talking about, you know, all the Arab nations surrounding Syria and Iraq. How come the refugees weren't able to find a place there, you know, closer to, rather than traveling, shipping them basically to the western parts of Europe and here in the United States. And at the same time, we have, you know, Donald Trump being called a racist, a fascist, for wanting to have some semblance of border security, and he's been, you know, lambasted for it all throughout the media. But now, you know, you see the Ted Cruz coming out and saying, well, we're going to have to start patrolling Muslim neighborhoods and stop the influx of Syrian refugees, and being praised for it in the media, where they called Donald Trump a racist. And we don't have to get into the political aspects of this, LA, but yeah, when you have an incident like Fort Hood and these other incidents classified as, you know, workplace violence or some kind of domestic issue rather than terrorist attacks, what they were, an administration that is unwilling to identify the true ideology behind these attacks, which is radicalized Islam, it's basically become, you know, a racist term to even hint at that. And as you said, just imagine Christians, you know, running around with suicide vests and you know, committing these acts of violence, and how they would be just rightfully so demonized in the news. But, you know, we don't see that, and we're still demonized as a belief system. But where do you see this all heading, especially here for America in the near future?
Well, I don't have a real confident picture of the future. And the reason for this is, again, this goes back to a blog I wrote in 2013. We have real soft targets in this country, the malls. And let me see if I can find that post here real quick. Yeah, here we go. We've got, let me see how many malls we have. There are 47,835 malls in America. 47,835 malls in America. And look, I'm not trying to give these guys any ideas because they've already done it. But they're soft targets, and all you've got is, you know, the mall guy on a little scooter with a thing of pepper spray. It's a joke. These guys, when they show up and they're going to create an event, because that's what it is to them. Remember, ISIS was handing out candies and celebrating yesterday, just like different parts of the Arab world, Muslim world, were dancing in the streets at the events of 9/11. So, look, malls are a soft target. The schools are really, for the most part, a soft target. Malls, gas stations, think about this. I mean, a gas station. How many people do you have at a gas station, let's say, and people would go to a gas station and see that, gee, at 10 o'clock seems to be the peak hour when there's like 10 cars there. So, you know, maybe you have 20, 25 people. I mean, I'm not trying to give these guys any ideas. But, you know, some suicide bomber pulls up, you know, pretends he's putting gas in the car, but he's not. He's putting gas, you know, on the ground, and detonates a bomb. The whole place blows up. How many people are killed? I mean, it's just non-ending. What about the guys who drive cars into crowds? I mean, in Israel, we showed a clip where this crazy guy, this crazy jihadi, this radicalized guy, saw a rabbi on the street and drove his car, ran him over, and then gets out. He's got a machete, and he starts hacking at him. And some other guy comes up, and he starts hacking on him. And finally, a Israeli police guy just shoots the guy. And that's what we're dealing with. And I don't, it's not going to stop. Look, we had Paris a while back. San Bernardino, Paris shootings, massacre, not shootings, massacre, and now Brussels. And Drudge Report is telling us that there's 400 jihadis through Europe who are ready for a wave of bloodshed. 400 trained jihadis ready for a wave of bloodshed. So let me ask you this. How the heck are we going to stop them? How are they going to stop them in Europe? How are they going to find out who the 400 are? I mean, it's like a needle in a haystack. It really is. So I'm alarmed at what I see. I'm disturbed at what I see. And I have no answers, guys. I mean, I wish I did. Again, going back to Donald Trump, seal the borders, limit immigration, begin to monitor the mosques, really monitor the mosques. There's several authors out there. I know Gil Wilders, who, by the way, is being tried for his ideas against Islam, is just saying, look, you haven't seen anything yet. And he's right. I agree with him. This is only the beginning. What we're seeing, the whole thing is just seething. It's being fueled. The ideology isn't going away. And now there's talk that ISIS is going to crucify a priest that they've captured on Good Friday. So while Obama's out, you know, playing baseball or watching baseball games or jet setting around and taking golf vacations and everything else, and calling, by the way, ISIS to JV team, we are in really just a very, very troubling period of time.
You know, you had directed. Well, you had written your post today of in the aftermath of Brussels, a post from 2013. Folks, go to lamarzulli.net. Wow, you know, and you're right. You've been warning of the coming jihad for years now. For the most part, it's fallen on deaf ears. It's coming here. We're going to see more of the attacks, Brussels style, Paris style. And you know, while we might not have a clear, while we're looking through kind of a glass darkly, we do know, at least in my view, we know that the way is being paved, that the doors are open for a reason, is not incompetence, what we're seeing, political incompetence. This is,
and gone are the days where, you know, armies get together on a field to march, you know, toward each other to fight face to face. We see this new guerrilla warfare tactics being used, which are much harder to stop unless you have, you know, information beforehand, and or, as you said, LA, are doing the proper profiling in order to understand, you know, who it is that is in our country and what, you know, their intentions are.
But Joe, let me ask LA this. LA, aren't we seeing, I mean, when we look at what's taking place right now, and in the biblical prophetic aspect of things, looking at the bigger picture here, we know what prophecy tells us. I mean, we know biblical prophecy. Are we not seeing, I mean, these attacks, I think people have a tendency to look at the attacks like Brussels and Paris and every other attack that you mentioned via Wikipedia, and we know that they're on the rise. But the end game toward this one world global system of governance, isn't this being managed to that end, do you think?
Well, we actually talked about that, and why we're looking at all this. The New World Order has a saying: out of chaos, order. Now, why would Merkel welcome hundreds of thousands, if not upwards to a million Muslims into her country? Why would Obama insist on ramrodding 300,000 of these so-called refugees into our country? I think, and this is, I'm going to go way out on a limb here, but this is what, you know, I've studied and looked at, and, you know, call me crazy. It's maybe I'm wearing my tinfoil hat here, I don't know. But we know from the biblical prophetic narrative that there's going to be a one world government and a one world religious system. We know that. But that begs the question, how do we get 1.8 billion Christians, 1.4 billion Muslims, a billion Hindus, and then everybody else underneath that, all these other, you know, small little isms, whatever, to somehow come together collectively. How is that possible? What's the scenario that we can create that will do that? I mean, when we look at the absolute virulent ideology of Islamists, obviously you're not going to change it. We need an event that's going to change it. So they're creating, this is like a classic Hegelian dialectic, the idea of a conflict, a counter-conflict, and a synthesis. The conflict is the war in the Middle East, the counter-conflict is the refugees, and it's all being managed and orchestrated, absolutely managed and orchestrated by the so-called leaders of the free world. 300,000 in this country, well over a million in Europe, which is changing the cultural landscape of that entire continent. So it is being managed, and being managed very carefully. And of course, the synthesis to this it can go a variety of ways. The synthesis would be exactly the opposite of what the EU is now, a lockdown, more like a Soviet-style lockdown. I remember reading in the 60s that in order to travel between one town and another, you had to have special passes. How long were you going to be gone? How long will you be there? How long will it take you? What's your business? I mean, it was crazy. There was no freedom of movement at all. Is that what we're looking at? Is that what Jade Helm and other exercises where they shut down? See, right now I can get in my car and I can drive cross country if I want to. And there's no checkpoints. I can just drive. I can go anywhere in the continental United States I want to. I could go to Miami, Florida. I could drive my car to Miami, Florida right now, or New York, New York, or get a cup of clam chowder up in Boston if I wanted to. But the bottom line is there's no restriction. What happens if all that changes? What happens if, because of what we're looking at, they begin to close just the simplest of transportation? So let's say driving into Los Angeles in the morning, that becomes a problem. Well, if you can't drive into Los Angeles, you're looking at millions of people driving into Los Angeles. How the heck is that going to work? I mean, everything shuts down. Everything shuts down. But there's another scenario, and the late David Flynn posited this years ago, and I just tag team onto it. What if there's a nuclear event in this country or somewhere else? What if there's a dirty bomb that goes off, or an EMP, or a small nuclear device, a tactical nuke, or let's say some nutcase on a Russian warship lets a couple of nukes go off? And the bottom line is, because we're wired together in ways that we've never been wired together before, with the internet, with the satellite network, which is over the global satellite network. So information comes and moves at the speed of live. It's just that quick. If the Fukushima earthquake happens, we see the tidal wave come in real time. In real time. What, a 2-second delay? That's real time. So we're wired together. If there's a nuclear event on this planet, unlike Brussels or even Paris, that would create, I believe, the greatest climate of fear mankind has ever experienced in the history of the world, period. I mean, it's different than Hiroshima, because Hiroshima happened and then the stats came in, but the world was at war. And it was, I'm not saying it was acceptable, but it ended, they took two. Remember, they did Hiroshima and Nagasaki before the Japanese surrendered. It took two bombs before the Japanese surrendered. They didn't surrender after the first one. They kept fighting. So that's alarming in itself. I believe that if nuke goes off somewhere on this planet, that creates the greatest climate of fear that mankind has ever experienced collectively. Would that then trigger supernatural events? In other words, would we see mile-wide motherships appear? And now we get into the whole Darwinian paradigm with guys like Richard Dawkins talking about panspermia, that we were created by a race of extraterrestrials and then seated here, the whole ancient alien thing on Friday nights and all this other stuff. I mean, now what? And they appear and they will tell us that we created all life on this planet. We manipulated early man. We started the world's civilizations and the world's religions. And now at this critical juncture, we've come back to give everyone a DNA upgrade and to usher mankind into a golden age. So that's what I'm banking on. That's what I truly believe is, in fact, the end time scenario. And with everything that's going on and all the research that I've done and the books that we've created and the DVDs, the Watcher series that we've created, I just think that that's, in my opinion, that's how it's going to come down. It's going to be something like that, because when they show up, everything changes. Doug and Joe, you guys know this. When they show up, when they really reveal themselves, that's it. Everything is, you know, AD, after disclosure, or AA, after the arrival, however you want to say it. That's what it is. You know, the world stops at that point, and it's my life before they showed up and my life after they showed up. And that's all if the church is still here, and we may be, because I believe it ties into the coming great deception that we read about in 2 Thessalonians and the apostasy, the apostasy, the apostasia in Greek. It's an event, and that begs the question, what causes that event? So why this is all conjecture and speculation, and I understand that. I mean, I totally understand that. It's speculation and conjecture on my part. But it's based on research and in looking at everything that's going on and keeping an eye on supernatural events and keeping an eye on the alien implants that we've actually taken and removed in a hospital or an operating room-like setting with medical doctors and trained personnel and all this. And we presented some of that information at the Hear the Watchman conference. I mean, I looked out at the audience and people were just riveted when I'm showing those pictures of the operation and telling them a story and how one prayer changed the atmosphere in the room. So if that's the case, all that to get to this point, if that's the case, then all this is being orchestrated. There is a Luciferian hierarchy. We all know that. We believe that. All we need to do is look at Beyonce or Madonna at the Super Bowl, flashing, you know, the Baphomet sign and all this other nonsense. It's right in your face. That's who they worship, the God of this world. And for people that don't believe in the supernatural, well, good luck, because that's what we're about to see. I'm a supernatural biblical literalist, and I believe that the supernatural world is more real than the world we actually live in now. And I think we're very close to seeing things manifest, and hopefully I'm wrong. Here's another thing off the Drudge Report. One of the ISIS fighters, my dream is to live under Islamic caliphate in Europe. Now, how do you change that man's ideology? How do you change that man's ideology? You can't. You can't change his ideology.
No, there's no way. I mean, as you had mentioned earlier, I mean, we see videos, training videos on Arabic language websites, terrorist websites,
sure,
that we, you know, that indoctrinate children from infants onward. It's just ridiculous how this is playing out, and yet, you know, people are not getting this on the 6 o'clock news or in the evening news or any of the cable news networks, LA. I mean, and it was interesting you did what you said earlier about at Hear the Watchman conference when you were talking and pointing things like this out and things like the coming deception, great deception. People were just glued to your presentation. Folks, go to hearthewatchman.com for information on the DVDs and such and live streaming, but even more so, go to lamarzulli.net, and there you can get all of the or look at all of the DVDs, and certainly Days of Chaos, just important. But bottom line is this: the body of the church is really not awake, and I don't believe, LA, that they're prepared for what's about, you know, for what's coming. The majority of people, because they're not getting this in their churches, they're not getting this in the media. I kind of spread that. I was kind of spread out there with that comment. But the bottom line is, we are becoming a much less intelligent. We're being dumbed down. Meanwhile,
we're devolving.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned this too. I mean, in your face, right? All of these overt signs in your face. And they're laughing at us, LA. They're laughing at our ignorance. Don't you get that? I mean, don't you feel that too?
Absolutely. They sort of count on it. I go to this little church in Malibu. It just started. And the only reason why I'm there, guys, I really don't care if the pastor gives me anything. I'm not there to meet anybody. I'm not there to do anything except raise my hands and worship the King. That's it. It's the only reason why I go. And if I get something out of it, bully for me. You know, if I walk away with if the pastor gives me something that I can chew on for a while, wonderful. But that's not why I'm there. The only reason why I go is to honor the King, to show up, to worship Him, and just to say, hey, I'm here, Lord. You know, I'm giving my time to you today because, I mean, basically I worship Him every day. At the end of my run, when I do 2 miles, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 times a week, depending on how I'm feeling, at the end of the run, my hands go up and I just sit there and just worship. I don't care who's looking. I'm at the Zuma Beach parking lot. Hands are up. I'm just worshiping the Lord. And, you know, it's early in the morning, so there's a couple of people around. They probably think I'm stretching or something. I don't care what they think. So church for me is every day. You know, that's just
Amen.
Part of my life. Church for me is every day. Worshiping Father God is just a daily routine. I mean, an ongoing daily routine. Yeah. But the church, for the most part, that church that we've been at, guarantee will never, ever talk about the biblical prophetic message. It just won't. Most churches today steer clear of prophecy. So if that's true, and prophecy is about a third of the Bible, then when pastors get up, they're not teaching the entire Word of God. They're not teaching prophecy. They're not alerting their people to the tenuous, tumultuous, unprecedented times in which we find ourselves. And of course, that's the problem. So people, there's a lot of kids, a lot of Pepperdine students that go to this little particular gathering. And, you know, I understand. I was young once. You know, you're looking for a wife. If you're a female, you're looking for a husband. People are pairing up, and you're thinking about careers. You're thinking about all this stuff. And, you know, they got coffee and they got cake, and it's a typical feel good. Hey, you know, it's that whole thing. And it sort of drives me nuts. And, you know, I'll go this Sunday. It'd be very interesting to see if this pastor, with all due respect to the man, and I like him, he's a great guy. He's got a real heart for the Lord. And I like his studies because he breaks it down. And you can tell it's just not, he's done his work during the week. He's not reading somebody else's sermon. He's like, you know, working it out on his own. And this text said this and this commentary. So I really like him. I respect what he does. And I'm all for the guy. We'll see if he mentions anything in regard to the Brussels massacre, other than we need to pray for the families, and we'll have, you know, 30 seconds of prayer or something. And I want to call your attention to something that happened at Hear the Watchman, something that I find myself doing more and more of when I get a chance at conferences. With all due respect to a lot of people that go to these conferences and, you know, get everybody fired up, get all the troops all fired up, and it's all emotional. I had one man come up to me. Actually, several people come up to me after I spoke on Saturday and tell me how wonderful it was to just sit silently in the presence of a living God, which is what we did. 850 people sat in that room and they were silent. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that He is God. And we just sat in His presence. Well, that's only the beginning. And what I would love to try to do, if I'm invited to another Hear the Watchman conference, is to actually meet with the other pastors and some of the elders, whatever, and have a team of people that would be able to facilitate a time of watching the Spirit of a Living God move through His people. Because I guarantee you, we could have gone there decently in order, not a bunch of people running around screaming, barking like dogs. It's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Spirit of a Living God moving through His people with either a vision which someone can share, or even if there's a biblical tongue, there has to be an interpretation. It's right out of Acts, or 1 Corinthians 14, rather. It's what the early church did. It's what the early church practiced. They came with something because they had been walking with the Spirit of a Living God. Today, we have what we have in most churches is the model of the Grand Poobah stands up, runs the meeting, and we never sit in the presence of the living God collectively, corporately. That the people never get to do anything. So no one ever grows because They're not practicing the gifts. They don't even know what the gifts are for the most part. So when you get 850 people like that, it can get real sloppy. That's why you have to have people trained. You've got ushers there. And if it's about you, if you're hearing something and it's about you, then that's just between you and the Lord. That's not something corporately. But maybe you have a prophecy, you know, so you stand up and you give that prophecy. And maybe one of the pastors has a, and I've seen this work. We were at a conference in Knoxville last year. And that model was sort of set up. And it went right down the line. I would say at least 20 people gave a word. I started it because I had a word. I forget what it was, but I had a word. It was one of the attributes of God the Father. Okay, so that's kind of cool. But guess what? 19 or 20 or 25 other people had another attribute of God the Father. It went right down the line. And that's how he works. And so what we got was we had a cosmic Bible study led by the Holy Spirit giving us the attributes of a living God as Scripture, because it all came from Scripture. It all came out of God's Word. No one was making this up. These were attributes that are found in God's Word. He's faithful and true. That's an attribute, right? Long-suffering, that's an attribute. You know, he cannot lie. That's an attribute. It went right down the line, and we had this incredible Bible study led by the Spirit of a living God. And see, all that's been lost for the most part. It's not practiced in the churches. So this is why we get the prophetic narrative that says having a form of religion but denying its power. The power comes from the people sitting in the Holy Spirit's presence. Just shut up and stop it. You know, you don't have to blab or say anything or do anything else. Just shut up and sit still. All of us, corporately. You have one guy that facilitates it. In this case, it could be me, but it could be somebody else. I don't care. But get out of the way. Get out of the way and let him show up. He's dying to do it, trust me. He really wants to come, but we won't let him. We won't let him.
Amazing. I mean, that's our philosophy, I suppose. You know, when we, L.A., we can screw up so much, Joe and I, but, you know, when we shut up and get out of the way and let God do, you know, let God work and be obedient, but listen. You know, I mean, we have to listen. We fight that, and we attempt to, you know, do our carnal, earthly, I mean, obviously, you know, we live in this realm, but so we have to exist and we have to certainly do things. However,
and there's two parts to what you said, not to interrupt you.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
The not only reading God's word and paying attention to his precepts and his commandments, but the obedience part, walking out the faith. It's a much easier said than done, and it's something that, you know, the Lord will refine us on throughout our walk with him in life, and we have to work also, you know, at least be willing for that change to happen. Because, as you said, Dad, we are all carnal. We're all filled with human nature, which is enmity to our spiritual nature. And, you know, it's more than just reading and praying. We have to be obedient and be the living example.
But Ellie, let me ask you a question, because a lot of Christians take this approach, and this kind of drives me nuts. Help me understand this. We you know... when we say, for example, look, we have to, I mean, we're in this, we live in this world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. We exist in the world. Obviously, we are spirits with bodies. I get that. But there's a lot of Christians I've seen lately saying, well, you know, I guess the best way to describe it is they cannot do two things at once. In other words, they want to just be nothing but prayer warriors. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's like, don't do anything earthly because, you know, we're part of God's kingdom. It's almost an excuse for passiveness. I don't know. It's almost as if some Christians are looking for an excuse not to occupy, and they believe occupying is a passive command. How do you deal with that?
Well, there's a couple of things here. First of all, you know, when we talk about occupying, you know, there's a movement that believes that somehow that we're going to bring the kingdom here. And I don't believe that for one second. We're not going to bring the kingdom in, and we're not going to, you know, there's guys I was at with this one particular conference, and we couldn't have been more apart from each other, you know, theologically. You know, he's talking about the seven mountains, and we're going to take these things for Jesus and all this. And that's not what I see happening. I see exactly the opposite. However, that being said, we are supposed to push back. You know, Bonhoeffer pushed back against the ideology of the Nazis in Germany. He gave his life for that. That's pushback. The church should have stood up and said something against the gay marriage deal. The church should absolutely doodly squat. And we allowed judicial fiat from nine people to decide what marriage was for thousands and thousands of years between a man and a woman, which is the biblical mandate. Now anybody can get, what if I want to marry my duck, my pet duck? What's wrong with that, right? Come on, man, I'm in love. Let me marry my duck. You know, you're denying me my rights. You know, love wins. No, love didn't win, Mr. Obama, who lit up the White House in rainbow colors. You can't make this stuff up. The church needs to be salt and light in a world, and we've lost that. And in that respect, I agree. Someone wrote me and says, you know, L.A., you should just talk about the salvation message. Enough of this UFO and Nephilim. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, you're clueless. You don't understand. It'll be like the days of Noah when I return. What do you think we're talking about? What do you think is manifesting? What do you think is happening here? Come on. I mean, it's right in our faces. And so there's a balance here between engaging and not engaging. And, you know, should we be political? Absolutely. Do I believe that George Bush was the born-again Christian guy? No, not for a second. I think we were all duped. And when I answer that with people, I'll go, look, when you hop on an airplane, do you go up to the pilot, excuse me, sir, are you a born-again Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? No. The guy's an airplane pilot, and you're going to fly from point A to point B. So when you have a politician, he's managing the country. Granted, it'd be great if he had, you know, Christian views, but you want someone who knows what the Constitution is and who will stand for the Constitution. So it's a fine line between sitting around and doing nothing and just talking salvation messages and then pushing back, let's say, to the abortion holocaust. The church basically went to sleep with that, and now we've got 60 million unborn babies which have been killed, murdered in their mother's wombs. And that's what it is. And I would even go as far as to say that it is a ritualistic satanic offering. Just Google what happened in Philadelphia with our good friend Dr. Gosnell, who's now spending multiple life sentences as he just butchered baby after baby after baby ad nauseum. I mean, this is where we're at. Or go look at the Planned Parenthood videos where she's sipping wine and munching on a salad and talking about, you know, I'm careful not to crush here, but I'll crush here. It's insane. It's absolutely over the top insane. And the fact that the church does nothing, and I mean nothing, the fact that we meet in pretty much everywhere and there's no outrage and the pastors don't get their foot soldiers, you know, give them a heads up on what's going on, they're the ones that are going to have to give an answer. Because the pastors are the ones who are supposed to educate their flock. And many of these guys, well, we don't want to offend anyone, L.A. You know, it's just a bunch of girly men in the pulpits. It is. You know,
I love it because yesterday I said, look, we don't have, this country does not have a problem with intolerance. We've got a problem with too much tolerance. We tolerate too much. You know, L.A., we, as Christians, we outnumber them. Even with the evangelical Christian pastors, we outnumber the enemy. Why aren't these pastors standing up and saying, no, enough? We should be shutting down all of these charnel houses, these abortion centers. We Yeah. should be saying no to, we're not going to marry, we're not going to engage in or facilitate the sodomite crap that's going on. And you know what, Ellie? I'm sorry, buddy, but you can't marry your duck. You know, I mean, as much as you like your duck, but it ain't going to happen.
I'm being discriminated against, see?
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
And you know what? They're weaponizing the legal system because, see, even by us saying this, and I truly believe this, L.A., that we, you know, it's going to be a very short time from now that we will be cited for hate speech for even talking about this.
Yep. You know, in Canada, you can't say anything against Muslims or gays. You can't.
That's right.
Yeah, you wind up in jail. So there, so much for free speech. You can't say anything. It's protected now. The government has protected it. So it's coming here, folks.
Well, it's in a sense it's already here, and it's the vacuum that's created by the non-performing Christian pastors. And we get emails saying, "Why are you so hard on Christians?" Well, you know, I mean, the answer should be obvious, right? I mean, seriously, we're not stepping up to the plate. I mean, men like
we're not.
But. And this, the education, and by the way, this is another thing that really gets me. When I looked, and folks, at hearthewatchman.com, you can go there and get the DVDs, and inevitably somebody will say, well, you know, these, you know, $75 too much, 10 DVDs. You know, it's not, the knowledge, okay, I mean, it's the knowledge, because one thing I really have a hard time with is stupidity, is ignorance, willful ignorance, L.A. And I got to tell you, you've done such a great job in educating the people with from everything from the mounds, the you know the Nephilim to the coming deception and all of this. If you want to live in blissful ignorance, then you're the problem. You, not you, L.A., but you, that person, is the problem. And we need more people to stand up and say, come on now. Now, put on your big boy pants and let's get educated. Let's know what we're fighting against. We can pray, but let's fine-tune our prayers to fight, you know, to pray against the enemies that are already here and breathing down our necks. I don't know.
Yeah, it's look, guys. If we're really in the last days, and I talked about this at Hear the Watchman, also that the only way out of this thing may be up. I could be wrong, but and I know that you know people have different ideas about the rapture, when it is, and all these different positions. I mean, I get all that. I totally get all that. And we can argue it, you know, to the second coming, literally. And it's at some point in time, we're all going to find out how it works out. Okay. All I know is that we see through the glass really darkly. I don't hold on to anything really that tightly. How many people showed up when the baby Jesus incarnated? Well, nobody. Nobody knew about it. Nobody was there. Oh, wait. There was a cosmic invitation, and a couple of shepherds showed up. And that cosmic invitation, only because angels appeared to them and said, hey, go over here. The Messiah is over here. So there was a cosmic invitation. So I realized that even with all the prophecy in front and everything that we got, all the different Bibles and interpretations and, you know, the text that we have, we still see through that glass darkly, dimly. We're not sure. I will say this. When we look at transhumanism and how the GMO and the chemtrails and everything else may be changing and affecting human DNA. We are in the days of Noah. When we look at the breeding program, a so-called breeding program, which we talk about in our Watchers series and, of course, my books, something is going on here. Something is going on here, and it's extremely unnerving. It points back to Yeshua's words, it'll be like the days of Noah when I return. When we look at the landscape, the geopolitical landscape, and we see the war... World War III basically forming in the Middle East. It's right there. This whole series of events, ongoing events with no end in sight, where all these different sides, whether it's Israel or Saudi Arabia, or Syria, Lebanon, everyone is building up. The Iranians are building up. The North Koreans are firing missiles. The Chinese are trying to move us off the petrodollar to the Chinese yuan. The BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, all trying again to move the world global default currency from the U.S. petrodollar to the Chinese yuan. Look at the instability of the country. Look at the decline in the dollar, the purchasing power that we have. People are talking about economic Armageddon in this country. Think about Fukushima, the radiation, which is ongoing, which they don't know where the reactor is. They don't know where the fuel rods are. They went missing in reactor 4. It's melted down. They can't locate them. They send in robots, and guess what? The wiring in the robots short circuits, so they got to build a new robot, and then that doesn't work. I mean, it's a total disaster. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. Meanwhile, Oklahoma has now become the earthquake capital of the world, and they're getting stronger and stronger. Does this signal Madrid? What about the drought in California? Yes, the snowpack is up, but I have a seasonal creek. I've lived here since 1978 in the same location, okay? And that creek used to run for 5 to 6 months out of the year. That creek has not run in 8 years. 8 years. This is the eighth season. It's now the end of the rainy season. Yeah, the snowpack's up. We'll see what happens. But if the water continues to decline and the Hoover Dam doesn't run with providing all that hydroelectric power, that affects upwards of 40 million people. We talked about that in Watchers 9. Then you get, you know, the whole radical jihad, which is now a global event. It's happening pretty much everywhere all across the globe. And it creates this tension where people that see someone, and I do it, I'm at the airport and I see a woman in a full burqa and I just kind of go, ooh, what am I looking at here? How do, you know, uh-huh. Does she have a bomb under the burqa? That's the first thing that goes through my mind. And that's wrong. And I know it's wrong, but that's what goes through my head. Because how do I know? I don't know. There's no guarantee. All I keep reading about is Allahu Akbar and people blowing themselves up. So we've got radical jihad, which is a global problem, which is not going away. You've got this nation against nation, which of course comes from the biblical narrative, which says that the end times, wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, that's ethnicity against ethnicity. Look at the racial tension in our country. Look at Chicago, which is basically the murder capital of the United States. Every weekend, you know, it's black on black crime. It's insane. Then you add the abortion holocaust where 60 million or 1 billion babies, 1 billion with a B, the mind reels. I can't even imagine that. I can't get my head around it. It makes no sense. Look, under Stalin, what, 65, 70, 75 million, which I have trouble getting my head around. I can't imagine that either. Died in the gulags, according to Alexander Solzhenitsyn. So, okay, the gulag archipelago, I get all that. But now we're looking at 1 billion. 1 billion. I mean, that's like a seventh of the world's entire population since Roe v. Wade. Completely gone. Completely gone. There's a blood curse on the land. A blood curse on the land. Record drought, record heat, record flooding, record tornadoes, record snowfalls, record rainfalls. The whole place is absolutely wacky, in my opinion. And it's all firing all at the same time, and you can't put a Band-Aid on it. You can't sit in the pew for 45 minutes, shoot out a quick prayer, and think you're going to be okay. We are living in absolute unprecedented times. I've never seen anything like it. And, you know, when I talk about all this stuff, people get freaked out. Oh, hey, you know, you're just a doom and gloomer. Okay, where am I going wrong? My friend, you're an ostrich person because you got your head in the sand and you won't even deal with the stuff that's going on. You're afraid to look at it. You're afraid to go on the internet and look at stuff like Breitbart or a Drudge Report or RT or any of the, you know, myriad of sites that I go to on a daily basis, gleaning information. It's out there, and it's not going away, and it ain't getting any better.
Not at all. And it's, you know, I'm so tired of people who say, well, this is doom porn, fear porn. You're just doing this to sell gold and silver, whatever.
Yeah, sure,
doom you can't handle the truth.
Doom porn until, you know, something explodes in your city.
Yeah, exactly. LA, man.
We got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go on a rant here because except to say this, all right? We are living, as you had so well stated, days of Noah. I mean, look around. You know, and you point this out in your Watchers series. But by the way, Watchers 10 coming out. But if you would recommend one thing on your website that people, you know, should get a hold of now, considering the times, what would it be? Would it be Days of Chaos? Would it, you know, what would you say? Or wait for Watchers 10? What do you think?
Well, I mean, certainly Watchers 9, Days of Chaos. I think and the book Days of Chaos, you know, you watch the video, you read the book, you're not asleep anymore. You can't possibly be asleep anymore after those two, after you look at those two offerings. It's going to wake people up. It will make an ostrich person, the head comes out of the sand, and they go, oh my gosh, this is, I didn't realize it was this bad. But I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, I wish I was. And that's the whole point of the book, Days of Chaos, is I chronicle. It's 8 years of blog posts with lots of interviews and interspersed with, like, author's sidebar where I extrapolate or weigh in on a particular subject or go back and talk about a blog that was written 6 or 7 years ago. And what it does is it chronicles and it shows that there's everything is accelerating. You look at the volcanic activity. You look at the earthquake activity. Everything is spiking. Everything is on the rise. And it ain't going away. It's not getting any better. You know, it's funny. When I took the stage at Hear the Watchman, I asked how many folks here believe that the world has become better in the last 16 years. Not one hand went up. Not one. Not one hand was raised. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I couldn't believe it. So people know instinctively that things are wrong. So look, if you're interested in this stuff, look, if I was a millionaire, I'd be giving this stuff away, but I'm not. And when you purchase our books or our DVDs, it allows us to keep the lights on. We're working on Watchers 10. Richard Shaw and I are working on Watchers 10. We're working on our new TV show. We're working on the new book, Nephilim Hybrids. I mean, it's all constant research, constant information, and content. But you got to charge something for it, otherwise you're working for free. And all you folks out there that have jobs, you're getting paid for your job. Well, this is what we do. So by supporting us, by buying Days of Chaos or Watchers 9, you're helping out. But you're arming yourself with vital information. There's no doubt about that. I guarantee it. You sit down and you watch Watchers 9, you'll go, I had no idea. We show this one picture, and I showed it at Hear the Watchman, where there's a wedding party in Gaza. Hamas controls Gaza. Hamas comes up with submachine guns and kills everybody in the wedding party because they're playing music.
Yes.
You don't see that on the 6 o'clock news. And that type of ideology is what we're up against. Where is the real face of Islam? Is it Hezbollah? Is it Hamas? Right back to the beginning. Is it ISIS? Is it Saudi Arabia? Is it Iran? Is it Pakistan? Where is it? Show it to me. Show me the real Islam. Show me the real religion of peace. Because in every single one of those countries I just named, we see atrocities ongoing all day long.
Amen. I mean, you're exactly right. Everything right now on cable news, it's all about it doesn't matter where you are. It's 24/7 election news. I mean,
yeah, shaping perceptions while presenting election news.
There you go. And we're just kind of stuck in this consistent, I don't know, this hamster wheel of this news. The news cycle is just nothing more than a hamster wheel. And really, now, LA, news has become entertainment. And in a way, entertainment is offering more news than the news is. It's upside down and backwards. And when I say that, because there is some predictive programming, I believe. And you point some of this stuff out as well, within entertainment. And there's, I don't know. I look out over the landscape, looking at what we're dealing with at a cruising altitude view, and I see days of chaos, you know, just like your just like your Watchers 9. I mean, days of chaos, it's here, it's among, I mean, the enemy is among us. Closing out here, we got about 7 minutes left. Hit anything that we haven't covered that you think is important to cover, LA?
Well, you know, we talked about in the very beginning the idea of which branch of Islam, where is the religion of peace? And I wish Mr. Obama would show me that. I wish someone would educate Americans on where, you know, where the moderates are. It's interesting. Again, I went to one of the websites that I visited. It's called Truth Revolt. And it was very interesting because there are American Muslims who are stating that they love America, and I get that, but they are certainly in the minority, and we need to hear their voices. We definitely need to hear their voices. You know, we have the same ideology as mainstream Americans. You guys need to stand up and shout it from the rooftops. And hopefully that's true. I'd really like to believe that. I have no axe to grind with anybody, and I take people on a one-to-one basis. You know, that's it for me. If you're in a burqa or a hijab, that makes no difference to me at all. If you're an Orthodox rabbi, that difference, there is no difference. All I'm saying is you're just a human being, and that's how I look at you. You know, you've got a costume on. That's just the way I view it. That's my worldview. You have a costume on, and that costume, you know, shows me who you are. That's fine. But I don't know what you're like. I have no idea who you are. How can I possibly judge or make a determination until I sit down and talk with you? And after a period of time, then I can make a judgment whether you're who you are, or, you know, you're peaceful, or you love people, or you've got prejudices, or, you know, it's the only way I'd be able to tell. So it's case by case. We can't knee-jerk. We need to be in prayer. But we also need to understand that we are, unless someone comes up with a way, and there is no way that I'm aware of, to somehow weed out the radicals from those who aren't, we are in really... We're in for big problems, because it's not going away. More and more mosques are being built in America. Right now, I think Muslims are like, 2 or 3% of the population. They're now closing in on those who were Jewish. So they're still way, way down there. But why is it that these same people, for instance, CARE, talking for Donald Trump to withdraw from the presidency? And CARE, of course, is the anagram for Council of American Islamic Relations. That's what CARE stands for. And calling him to renounce his candidacy because he was talking about closing some of the mosques and stopping immigration. And frankly, I agree with the Donald. We got to be able to sort this thing out. We can't be stupid. We can't be like the Europeans were, where multiculti and everything else, and have another candlelight vigil. Candlelight vigils are not going to solve the problem here. That's just nonsense. I'm so done with the candlelight vigil and the 30-second, you know, moment of silence where no one evokes the God of the Bible. I'm sick of it. I don't want any part of it. But we've got to stand up.
God of the Bible. Yes. Sorry.
We just got to stand up and say no to some of these things. And I already outlined that. Any country that is practicing jihad or anti-Israel sentiments, they can't come here. They can't come here. And that's what you got to do. And you got to infiltrate the mosque and monitor them. Any mosque which is talking about Sharia or jihad or radicalizing their people, it just can't be here. Go back to your own country if that's what you want to do.
You're exactly right. L.A., you've been generous with your time. Here, The Watchman was, you just did a fantastic presentation.
Thank you.
And frankly, I got to tell you, folks, I'd get the DVD set just to hear L.A. and watch L.A., his presentation. Again, the slides, the information. My wife was just in awe of your presentation. So was my daughter. So was I. You know, we all were. And you did such a great job in laying everything out. I just want to say thank you for your work product, your involvement with Hear the Watchman, and just for everything you've done, and even for your generosity tonight for this show. I just say God bless you, my friend. And I know you got a busy schedule. You're going to be in April. This April, you're going to be in the Faith Fellowship Church at a conference, right, or giving a talk, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Definitely looking forward to that. That should be really good.
Fantastic. Anything before that? Where can we catch you before that?
Let me go to the blog here and see what we got. Give me a second. I thought it was here. Hold on. Give me a second. Yeah, sure. I'm in North Carolina. And then after that, it's up in Indiana for a conference up there.
And folks, go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net. Also, ppsreport.com. ppsreport.com. LA, thank you so much for your time tonight. Again, it was a pleasure spending time with you this weekend.
Hey, guys. And thank you. Thank you for doing what you do. God bless you. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
That was LA Marzulli. Again, lamarzulli.net. ppsreport.com. check out his book, On the Trail of the Nephilim, and his latest DVD, The Watchers 10 series.
That's coming out, yeah.
This summer. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.